All right, folks. Well, hey, my name is Charlie Stumbaugh, and I have the honor of introducing Pastor Bob, Pastor Cedar Ridge for a long time now, and a young gentleman by the name of Dr. Wayne, who actually has his PhD in public policy and administration, and he also teaches an online course, Introduction to Public Administration, through CCU. And so we're going to have a great time today. I want to just tell a quick story about Bob Hillier. It's a true story. I actually had the privilege of pastoring. I wouldn't call it pastoring. I was actually a part of the church that his parents attended, Mildred and Wilbur Hillier, some of the most amazing people in the world. And so I was 26 years old, and my first ever sermon as a lead pastor in Buena Vista, Colorado. We had 12 people, and Mildred and Hillier were the youngest couple at the time. And I let it rip on Mother's Day on what it's like to extract the beauty from your wife and honor them with the sweet-smelling fragrance of the Lord. And Mildred and Wilbur Hillier sat on the second row on the left-hand side and just smiled the whole time. And what I should have done on that day is just simply sat down and said, "Would you please teach me what it's like to be a man that extracts the beauty from his bride?" But for many years, Mildred and Wilbur just honored me and lavished crazy love on me. But in a season that was tough, it was a swan situation when Mildred passed away and went on to glory. It was just a few short weeks Papa. But I'll never forget, Bob preached a sermon with dignity and honored his mom and dad so well. But the last sermon he preached at that funeral, he used an analogy about a cell phone. And he says, "Can you hear me now?" Mm-hmm. And I think the topic that they want to bring today is an invitation for you and me. Can you hear me now? Because leadership does matter. So, Pastor Bob, Dr. Wayne, would you please honor us in what God has given you? Thank you.
All right. Now, my wife's not here today, but the last thing she said was, "Don't take all of Wayne's time." So I'm going to try to do the best with that I can. The genesis of us being here was that Wayne has been an incredible blessing to our church in administration, and that's his specialty. I love pastoring, because Wayne does so much to help us. It makes my job a lot easier. I hang out with people and pastor them and do that. But I wanted to get Wayne here to teach, and Don Steiger said he thought it would be great if we both taught. And so I'm going to go quickly. The yellow sheets, we have not had time to coordinate and study all of this together, and I do fill in the blank, and that's the only way I get from point A to B to C. And I do that with just about everything. And so those are mine. And we're going to do a little tag team and take turns here. We were asked on the spur of the moment to come up with a title. And I thought, I'm looking at some of the other titles because we were the last people to be picked for this. And I saw these titles. We got to have something really great. And it just popped into my head, New Leadership Models for the 21st Century Church. Don't you love it?
Yes.
Okay, well, it was the great title. Now let's see what happens. Number one, often our biggest problem is how we view the problem. Now, I think I made that up. I'm not sure. Or maybe I just heard it somewhere. But I put that down because, and then I found this quote by Lloyd Ogilvy, "Every problem has in it the seeds of greater potential we could miss if we had not gone through the problem." I thought that was great. I actually found that before I made up that line right above that. And so let's go to Acts. In Acts 4, 32 through 35, incredible time in the early church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And so we see in Acts 4 that two of the great strengths of the fledgling church were unity and generosity. They were, it says in Acts 4:32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Now, isn't that a powerful thing for the church? And how often does that happen? From time to time, and we strive for that. And so we see that unity was there, and then generosity. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that all there were no needy persons among them. Wow. And so when you think about that, that's amazing. But when we look down at chapter 6, we see that both of these values are threatened. Very quickly, we see that they're doing miracles, the church is growing, it's getting powerful, they get taken in, persecution begins externally, but we see by Acts 6, look what happens. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, you want to be a New Testament church, you can't always get to the Acts 4 part, but it's pretty easy to get to the Acts 6 part. You see what I'm saying? It's really easy that somebody's this complaint, that complaint, this is going on, this fire's there, it needs to be put out, we're running here, we're running there. But what's interesting is that we see in Acts 6 and 1 that the very two great values of the early church are already threatened. Right there, two chapters later. We don't know, was that 5 days? Was that 3 weeks? What was it? We just know that the church is exploding in growth and that they have these fantastic things going, and then this. And though, so the fill in the blank under that, though surrounded by enemies externally, this is the first big test of the church's ability to overcome a long existing cultural divide and rise above prejudice and division. I want to tell you, prejudice is a terrible thing. And divisions come sometimes that from natural things. Divisions may come from things that are culturally out there. They may come from inside. But how many of you know the enemy wants to bring division? And so often, just a little side note, not in my notes here, but so often that results in a church plant, which resembles a face plant to those on the outside. They said, oh yeah, we're out planting a church. Well, and you know, some people begin to get a little suspicious about, because then my favorite word the last few weeks has been nefarious. I've tried to use it in every Bible study and every sermon. So I use it in the class. So not all church plants begin with a great beginning. Some are nefarious in their origin. There, I got it in. So when we look at that, we see an incredible crisis. I laughed. I thought, well, this would normally be the time when the Greek Orthodox Church got started. Because we've got the Hebraic and we've got the Greek, and we've got these two groups that outside the church are very divided. This cultural problem, this divide exists in the world, and it should be, the church is the one place where it gets healed. And so it's going to be the place that Satan attacks. And when Dr. Crace, I was glad he said that you're not... when people see you, he said something about how your professors or your teachers see you. He was one of my professors. I'm glad he does not remember me. But he almost, I thought he was introducing our class today, because he talked about the third point was being sideswiped. The third threat that came along, and he said, talking about waiting on tables. Acts 6, 2 through 7. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. There it is. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. I believe this was one of the greatest moments in the early church. But I'm looking at it from an administrative point of view. You say, oh no, it was the healing of this one, or it was all these people being saved on the day of Pentecost. It was this, it was that. Well, this is a class on administration, so I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, this was an incredible moment for the early church. Now, we're talking, we're administrators. He's a really great one. I just learned from him. But I think it was a great moment. The crisis of chapter 6 provided the impetus for a new level of leadership. That's one of the reasons that we're here today. We're talking about an administrative committee. A new level of leadership came as a result of what wasn't just a little problem. When we talk about the Hebrew Jews, we talk, or the Christians, we talk about the Greek Christians, and we're talking about these two groups. We're talking about if you're going to have the church split in two and start two new churches, or a new church out of the old church, culturally, this would be a natural outcome of this conflict. And yet, can you imagine how devastating that would have been to the early church? How devastating that would have been. This is the place where there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's not Gentile. There's not Jew. There's not women. There's not. I mean, it's the one place in this culture where everybody comes. There are slaves there. There are free people there. But the big, big divide is this Jewish and Greek, or Jewish and Gentile divide. The 12, who, by the way, had never attended a John Maxwell leadership seminar, right, ever, nor did they any of them have a cell phone, for those of you that were in Gen Y, they provide us with some valuable leadership lessons specifically to church. First of all, the apostles did not become defensive. They did not become defensive. Jim Maley, I pastored, my first church was down the road here in Nordway. And Jim Maley, I don't know why, but Jim Maley's, anytime you're in Pueblo, you stop by, we'll go to lunch. He also knew I knew some great pheasant hunting places out there. And so I provided pheasants and he provided lunch. We spent a lot of time together. He was an executive presbyter at the time. And I just picked his brain and I said, you know what? What causes like most church problems that you guys deal with? And he said, well, 90% of the time it's the pastor or his wife. That's just what he said straight up. And I was like, I didn't expect that. Because I had some board members that were really good. I'm healed. I'm okay. 90%, he goes, they get their feelings hurt. They get defensive. Somebody challenges the leadership. Somebody criticizes the pastor's wife. Somebody criticizes the pastor. And then all of a sudden it's like war on, you know. We're not putting up with this. And usually you don't. You're usually pastoring somewhere else, not long afterwards. The apostles did not become defensive. They didn't go, what do you mean? We see no, and this is a lesson for us, we see no big visceral emotional response like, what are we going to do, and wringing hands. They did not become defensive. And here's something I want to say. If you're in a church and you're a pastor and you really struggle with working with boards, you probably don't want an administrative committee. You don't want another board. You don't want another group of leaders. But you probably need them. Okay, it's how we approach that, and sometimes people come with incredible good ideas, and those ideas don't go anywhere because we become defensive. Yeah. You mean what you're trying to say is we're not doing a good job, and when what they might be saying, and Wayne will give you a little bit of that, is like, I would like to help you with this. Part of it's the approach, Wayne, the approach in such a wonderful way. Number two on that one, the apostles did not become super spiritual. They didn't lay hands on the people that were coming with the criticism and go, we're going to pray the devil out of you right now. You have a spirit of division in you. You have a critical spirit. We're going to pray that out of you. We perceive that you're not very spiritual. Not every problem in the church is a spiritual problem. Okay? Some are simply organizational or relational, and some are just because we're doing stupid things, or we're not doing the things we ought to be doing. We're just letting a problem go, let it go, maybe we don't know how to do it. Maybe we don't know what to do. Which brings us to the third one. The apostles did not try to fix the problem themselves. I like that the names of every one of the seven were Greek names. You guys got a problem? Church got a problem? They called them all together and they said, you appoint. There's no criticism of who got appointed. The apostles didn't, the 12 didn't. They said, you guys pick some people. We'll lay hands on them and we'll bless them and we'll turn them loose to fix this problem. If nothing in the church gets accomplished without our involvement or permission, then very little will get done. And you can just about bet that the church will probably get smaller or at the very best, never grow, just stay the same. Okay, Wayne.
Thank you.
I didn't take all your time.
thank you, Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob is one of the best preachers over a period of time that I may have heard some really good special sermons. But over a period of time, I mean, still want to go listen to him. Yeah. It's great.
Well, thank you.
And he's also one of the best that I've ever heard of about going and visiting people when they're sick and when they're in the hospital. You can figure that's where he is. So it's important for him to be able to do that and not be caught up in some other things. I wanted to... So Pastor Bob talked about the problem... a problem that they had, in a serious problem that they had in the early church. I want to talk about three problems that we had at that time. It was called Cedar Ridge Assembly of God. Now we're a new church, so it's different. And what I'm mainly talking about took place long enough ago that most wouldn't recognize it. So I'm going to use some names here. So the first, Anna, was in her 20s. She was our bookkeeper. And she was super conscientious, and she was so conscientious that she was concerned about the liability, like who's driving the van, and liability about the insurance, and we're paying a bunch for insurance. Are we paying too much for insurance? And the books, I'm not sure that I've got the books set up right. So I want to be transparent with the board, and so what can we do to do that? Well, the answer wasn't for Pastor to become defensive. The answer wasn't for him to take that on himself to solve it. The problem was to get more people, some people to help Anna. So I'm going to give three examples, and the first step, not the only step, the first step maybe to get more people. The first step is not do it yourself. Is there somebody else who can help with my problem? Okay, so that was one. We got some more help for Anna. And that happened to be in the form of an administrative committee. That's the focus that we're talking about mainly today. So there was some people on that administrative committee. We looked into insurance. We looked into so that the board didn't have to spend a lot of time on that or keep repeating stuff and not actually learn anything. So we really worked on that, finding insurance, finding out about liability, and making some policy suggestions. Okay, second person, this is, Anna was her real name. This person, this is not a real name. We want to call her Eve. Okay, Adam named his woman Eve because she was mother of all the living. Okay. I'm naming this person Eve because she was the mother of problems in our church.
Amen, brother.
She was an elderly woman who didn't hear well and chose not to hear well part of the time. Either to her husband or to other fellows. She was on the board. She was a fellow board person. It was really tough with me in some of the exchanges we had because I was trying to get her lined out about what, just the facts.
What we just said.
Yeah, just what we said and not worry about going on. So she would spread, you would think that the whole church was in an uproar. One person going here, there, and everywhere because she was active. She was active. She was on the phone. She was a wonderful Christian in many ways. And that was because she was a wonderful Christian in so many ways, that didn't make it any easier. Okay, so we needed more people to help know what was really going on and to spread the word about really what was going on. For example, she said that the board was secretly going to tear down part of the church and build a coffee shop instead of classrooms and stuff. So she, okay. So we needed more people for her too. Third person, I'm going to use part of her initials, but her initials are LSD that I'm going to use. But I'm going to, and I'm glad Christina's smiling because she knows this person. And this person is this really spiritual person. She puts us to shame. I mean, and she was a great friend. So, but there again, the good qualities. I mean, if she was an evil person, that would make it easier. She was a very nice person. But she led the music. She led the music, and one of the things I thought that what occurred to me about the LSD is she did crazy things. But amongst the crazy things that she did is she would bring people in that she worked with, hippie-type people. And so one of the ones is she brought in a person for leading the music who was living with a lesbian. And Pastor Bob didn't think that was appropriate, mentioned it to her. And I think somehow in LSD's mind, it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to lead the music all the time? He's a very talented musician, but are you going to lead the music all the time? What are you going to do? We needed more people. We needed more musicians. That was the first thing. Okay, so I'm gonna quit there, and Pastor Bob's going to share just a little more, and then I'm going to share some more of what we did.
Let me say, if you ever need to uninvite people in your church, this is your man. He writes the most eloquent, incredible letters to people and uninvites them, and they just smile the whole time they're reading the letter until they finally realize what he just said. Once again, that committee, getting people in, sometimes on a board, we've had great boards, and we have a turnover every year. Somebody goes off, two people go off, two come on, and I have absolutely no complaints there. We've been very blessed that way. But in the situations that Wayne is referring to, you get that feeling if every month you're dealing with one more thing with those people, And Wayne is right. Everyone are great people. But what we found out was each of these people was dominating our board to the point we were having 3 and 4 hour board meetings without accomplishing a lot. One page of minutes for the secretary to type on. We're going, what did they do? Because it's when it started and when it adjourned. And yeah, 4.5 hours. And we're dealing with recurring things. One of the things that happened was Wayne Cumming was going off the board, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to survive once he goes off the board. He came to me and said, is there any way possible that this would help you if we had an admin committee? All I could see was this is a way to keep one of my best board members ever in the loop. But then I never realized how amazing this was going to be for our church, how we were going to filter not decisions, okay, because the admin committee was never set up to make decisions. They were to inform the board, bring us information, work on projects, work on things. And I want to tell you, this was so very valuable because you, as Wayne mentioned, very spiritual people, good people. We're not talking evil. We're not talking about horrible things, but we're talking about problems constantly, somehow with the same people. And to have a group to filter some things through to say, you know, how do we deal with that? We don't have a policy about that. We can't say, well, we don't do that here. There's no precedent to say, we don't do that here, because then you're really saying, you know, the reason we don't do that here is because of you. And you're not going to do that here. And so Wayne loves administration. Wayne likes to solve problems. Yeah. I hate problems. He loves, problems are like, a problem. Let's get a solution. Let's get a system. Let's write something that we can tell them we don't do this and this is why we don't. And I love you, brother. I appreciate you so much. But the thing I didn't understand was that in the church, we often undervalue those to whom God has given the gift of administration. We often undervalue them. I'm going to give you a scripture in a minute, but I want to talk a bit about our problem. Many churches, for many of our churches, leadership is and always has been the pastor and the board. Well, who's in charge of this church? The pastor and the board. And it's been true. I'm pastoring my third church now. My first church was in Ordway. We had 13 people, but we had 20 members. Now, those of you that have been around the assemblies for a while know why we had 20 members. That way the district couldn't tell us what to do. I never, in 4.5 years, met some of our members. I don't know if they had died or moved out of the area, but we had 20 members, and we had 3 men. And you could only have men on the board back then. And so there was a limitation on how long you could serve on the board, but nobody paid any attention to it. If you had a pulse and you were male, you could serve on the board. And I want to tell you, can I turn this off, Pastor Charlie, for a minute, because I'm going to get in deep trouble, but in many of the churches I've been in that I've pastored, in the bylaws, there is the statement of qualifications shall be filled with the Holy Spirit according to Acts 2:4. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But what we don't understand is what it means to be filled in the present tense with the Holy Spirit. And what we really say, without saying it in the assemblies of God, was the perception I got from most people was, did you speak in tongues? Yes, I did. I went to family camp 17 years ago and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke. I had the initial evidence. I have none of the fruit. I'm mean, but I did speak in tongues once. Am I in trouble?
Nope.
Am I in trouble?
No,
Mr. Presbyter. And so we have a systemic problem in that, and trust me, I want people to be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit in an up-to-date relationship with the Holy Spirit to be on our board. Two of my board members in Ordway, who had, by the way, been filled with the Holy Spirit, and were mean. I'd been there a few months, and they got into a shoving match right out in front of the church on one of the main streets in Ordway. And it was only the elderly other board member and myself that got between them and kept them from coming to blows. I had a young man in our church who had moved over from the Baptist church, was president at about age 28, president of the bank. Brilliant young man. And Tom and his wife came to our church and were good friends with us the whole time we lived there. But seeing the leaders of our church, and Tom was an incredible leader in the community on a number of boards and things, they did not stay with us. I'll leave it up to you to figure out why they didn't stay in our church. There was no place for him to go. He's a leader. He's leading in the Chamber of Commerce. He's president of the bank. He's in charge of all of this stuff in the community. And there's no place in the church at the Ordway Assembly of God for him to be used in the leadership capacity. Wish we'd had you back then. We'd have got a committee, and we'd put him to work. In the church, we often undervalue those to whom God has given the gift of administration. 1 Corinthians 12:28 through 30, New King James Version, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The Greek word for administration is kubernesis, means the person that guides the ship. Wow. We pastors are the ones that guide our ship. Because we're pastors, or we're apostles, or we're prophets. It's interesting that listed in the gifts, the ministry gifts, the spiritual gifts, the things that God has appointed, is the list of administrations. And so what I want to say, and later I'll have one last takeaway, but it's the Holy Spirit that gifts people as administrators. But we don't seem to recognize that. We have certain gifts that are up here. On our websites, we don't have, and here's our prophets, and here's our preachers, and here's our interpreters of tongues, but we don't have a page for our administrators. We don't recognize so often that is. And pastors, can I say, from my personal experience in my relationship with Wayne and our committee, is that one of the greatest gifts that God not only gave to our church as our administrative committee, but one of the greatest gifts God gave to me is the administrative committee. And as we have recognized them and empowered them, my job has gotten so much easier. Okay.
Thank you. So there is a gift of administration. One of the things want to say, and I think there's a mindset and that goes with each gift. And there's knowledge that God gives to each person with each gift to help in the particular church or particular situation that you're in. Okay, more people. If we just get more people, is that going to solve the problem? It may be the start, but that's not going to solve it, right? So what you need is you need organized help, right? You need people that are going to help. We needed people that would help Anna. We needed musicians, but we needed to get them organized too. So we had musicians. Now, one of the cool things, all right now, we have five, isn't it? We have five worship teams.
Good.
Is that not
good
cool? And I like that. I like the variety of the different ones. And then there's a few of them that's got a little country twang, which fits me really well over on the Western Slope.
Hey,
I love
Sunday,
that.
They're up.
All right, we're going. But we got the young people. The young people have a group, and so that's cool for them too. At any rate, so you need more people, but you need them organized, and organized in a fashion that they're actually helping to solve the problem. So one of the things, one of the conduits for Eve was a fellow who had been on the board several times, was on the church, one of the very few people that were there before Pastor Bob. And so what she would, her conduit is, she would talk to him, to Ron, it's his real name. She talked to Ron, and then Ron would lead her. He kind of helped stir stuff up. So what we did is Ron became on the administrative committee. And so Ron became aware of what was really going on, and we could go in depth on what was really going on. Here's what the board said. Here's what they're charging us with. Here are the plans. Here is the actual plans here. Okay, so then when Eve comes up to Ron and starts telling, he knows more than what she does. And he said, no, look, this is what they're doing. And calm things down. Calm things down amazingly. Calm things down even more when she left, but at any rate, even when she was there, it helped amazingly. And then and having people who are interested in finances to help Anna, and then the music groups. Okay, another step here. Okay. Mindfully manage. Okay. So, So the pastor needs to step back. But it doesn't mean that you step back and wash your hands of the whole thing and you got a clue what's going on. It's not a situation where you hand it over to somebody and say, you do whatever you want to do. No. You don't do that. You don't give over that much. It's not going from one extreme to the other. So there's two terms. There's that deal with how you can handle things. You can micromanage stuff. I mean, so that you're doing everything and you got to have your finger telling everybody what to do. But you can also step back and not have anything to do with it. What you need to do with the, and there are statistics. Okay, so I have a doctorate, so I had to go through a bunch of statistics and research and all stuff. This is from research here, this part here. Mindfully managed. It means you have to be conscious, you have to be aware of what's going on. So that maybe something in the administrative committee is not just happening just like what you want. You gotta know that. You gotta know, you still, even though we've got five wonderful music groups, you still have to know whether you know who's sleeping with who. Okay. Only if it comes, but you do, okay. So I want to talk. So administrative committee. This is some of the things that we dealt with, and it was helpful. It helped in each situation, huge amount to have the administrative committee. One more thing that we did, we've got a person. Okay, so we have board elections. We have more people. Good thing I don't like to run against somebody in the church. I'd run against somebody else, fine. But we had more qualified, more candidates for board members. And so there were some that weren't. There was a young man who was not elected last time. He is now on our administrative committee. So training, that's another thing we consciously talked over. We want the ones of the world on there. We want other talented people. But we want some younger people who have that potential. And this is a place for them to learn. Now, we have an activity for you. All right, I've got two activities, and we will see how quick we can do them. But with a partner, I would like you to partner up with somebody, share a benefit of, a possible benefit, of having an administrative committee in your church. Is there a problem that an administrative committee could solve in your church? I want to give you, we're both going to be quiet here for a little bit, and it's going to be either silent or you're going to talk with somebody. I'll holler at you in 5 minutes. Well, I'll holler at you in 10. Well, I'll holler at you with 5 and at 10. So if you have a chance, talk with somebody about your idea and then talk with you. Okay? I'll be quiet. Go for it.
I'll pull you out of
the hour.
I'm going to go to the next one.
I'll be relieved.
That's kind of where we're at. So let's answer the question.
It may be a little less than 5 minutes, but why don't you, the other person, chair, okay? If you haven't done it yet, switch roles, the other person, chair. About your turn. As soon as you can. So this is the speaking tongues part.
Yeah, right? I wonder if we can push pause on this.
I don't know anything about it.
Neither do I.
Oh. 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 Oh.